Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle this Thursday morning with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It is time for The Bigger Picture. And the bigger picture for me is getting used to wearing a mask in the studio.
How are you getting used to it yet, Manisha?
Well, it keeps my face nice and warm, I have to say. But Elliot's already pointed out what he thinks about that.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let's talk about corporate earnings and economic data because they are chewing up the market.
So that's what is really weighing on the minds of investors today. You've got rather weak data coming through from the U.S., painting a bleak outlook for the U.S. economy, and that is from retail, some business condition surveys for April, and also home building. So all that pointing to quite tough times ahead. But then you have Donald Trump coming out to say, hey, the worst is over in terms of the number of cases. The peak is now past.
Yeah, but the futures didn't seem to absorb that particularly well. And it was an interesting point that you made earlier, Elliot, about have we got to the point where we just shrug off these comments until we see some real evidence?
Yeah, so that's a tough one to, you know, square up. And of course, looking at the bank earnings from Goldman Sachs, BOA and Citigroup, they put aside more money, billions of dollars for a rainy day ahead. So that's going to be something we'll be talking about with Sunny Hamid. He's the Director of Wealth Management for Financial Alliance. Morning, Sunny. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, Sunny. Thanks for making the time. I know these days you stay up till 3 a.m. How has the work from home situation been for you?
A bit of an adjustment period, right? With the kids all at home and everything, you know, your working time sometimes has to adjust a bit.
Yeah, so they're on different time zone now. That's the only time when things are quiet. Sunny, looking at the U.S. data overnight, right? Some weak data. You are looking at retail, you know, 8.7% down, the worst on record. Then you've got the April survey pointing to worst, you know, numbers coming up. And then the home building data, not very good as well. And it's so bad that an analyst from JP Morgan says all the toilet paper in the world can't clean up this report. And then you have Donald Trump saying, no, the worst is over in terms of coronavirus cases. How do you square up this, you know, these two things?
Well, I think market to a certain extent is efficient in terms of discounting the future. In certain cases, it isn't. But in this case, I think it's more or less discounted at least 2 or 3 months worth of really bad figures, data. The market also was probably ahead of Donald Trump when it bottomed out 3 weeks ago, when the market saw that the epidemic curve would probably peak in 2-3 months' time and then would come down. And these are based on basically scientific reports which are already out. So basically what Donald Trump is saying is basically what the scientists have been saying 2-3 weeks ago. So all squared, I think whatever news that's coming out is really more or less discounted by the market. What the market hasn't discounted and probably is lagging behind is the fact that the market thinks that these economies will restart magically after August, for example, and the data will all bounce back. I have my doubts. I think we're in a situation where the restart is going to be quite difficult. And I think at that point, when the data still continues to be bad, that's when the markets will actually start to feel the heat.
Yeah, that could be a moving goalpost as well, depending on how things pan out.
Exactly.
Sunny, looking at the bank earnings for the first quarter, we've got them rather weak. You're looking at, you know, Citigroup, Bank of America, and JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs. Latest, you are looking at numbers dropping over 40%. At the same time, you are looking at quite a bit of money being set aside, billions of dollars for a rainy day. What are your takeaways from bank earnings so far? Is this just a sign of them front-loading all the bad data, all the bad news, and then numbers will improve from here?
Again, I think you just mentioned that it is a moving goalpost. So basically what they actually set aside now, I'm not sure what their models are showing them, but actually things could get worse because there's always this negative feedback loop in the economy. And I mentioned the restart could be difficult for many companies and such. But one thing we also need to note is that the banks are the strongest among everybody in the whole industry, or rather in the whole in the whole economy. They are well capitalized. They've more or less set provisions over the years and so on and so forth. They just need to up it up in this current scenario. But what about the normal companies? What about the smaller companies? You know, when these losses hit them at the bottom line, it straight away goes down to huge losses, no cash flow. Not sure when this whole thing will end, when the customers will start coming back again. There's going to be pressure on creditworthiness, ratings for those who have ratings. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be much worse for the rest of the other industries compared to the bank. So the bank was really bad, but it's going to be much worse for everybody else.
We're joining Sunny Hamid. He's the Director of Wealth Management for Financial Alliance. So Sunny, talking about banks, there's something brewing back home as well. And this is around the oil sector. You've got trading giant Hin Leong Group. So they are one of the world's largest tanker owners. So they have come under pressure recently. Reports say they owe banks such as HSBC and the big three local banks at least $4.25 billion. And they are struggling to pay this back. So this is raising concerns about potential defaults in the oil industry, especially for smaller guys. What's your outlook for how bad it might be for local banks?
Well, then it really depends on the dominoes. If it really causes a domino effect, then of course the banks again will have to do the so-called provisioning and so on and so forth. Again, banks are probably in a very good position given what has happened since 2008, Basel II, Basel III, all the segregation of trading and core activities. So everything points to the fact that banks are in a better position, albeit if the dominoes are just unlimited, then of course at the end of the day, they will get hit. But having said that, I think this is also one evidence that things don't just end with the virus, meaning to say there are systemic risks, there are domino effects, very much like, for example, the 08 crisis or even the dot-com crisis, where there was a decline in the stock market, but it just didn't stop there. Then we had things like in the year 2000, the Arthur Anderson, the corporate WorldCom debacles. Then we had other stuff. Then we had, so there could be ripple effects and not just the virus and we come back to normal. So again, we could be in here for the long haul if we have what we call multiple consequences stemming from the situation today.
Yeah, Sunny, talking about ripple effects, right? We will get the data for the first quarter GDP numbers from China tomorrow. I think the market is looking out for a drop of 6%. And then just yesterday, you had IMF saying, "No, this is the great lockdown crisis, the worst in our lifetimes." When you look at China, how important is it when you look at a print tomorrow for a Singapore recovery?
It will be important. But at the same time, I think again, market probably has discounted more or less the GDP figures because again, when we start looking into some of the a little bit more forward-looking figures, China is improving in certain sectors. But I think what is crucial actually, and also there's a differentiation. If you start looking at China, Taiwan, Korea, these are countries which handle the virus a little bit more better than everybody else. So if I were to take a more reflective look at the global situation, I'll be looking at countries which didn't really handle, because that's the majority of countries which didn't really handle the situation well. So those will be more evident of what we can expect vis-a-vis this small little minority group of countries which probably did a little bit better in terms of testing and handling the situation.
Hey, Sunny, just to wrap things up, right, how much lower do you expect markets to go and what's your investment approach right now?
In the market itself, there's two views. One is the market actually has bottom and it's going up, and two is market's coming down, going to hit a new bottom. We are slightly on the latter side, meaning to say that we think there are certain things that the market hasn't fully discounted yet. So we're telling our clients it's a bit too early to become extremely bullish, but it's okay if you go in what we call dollar cost averaging. Meaning say you go in installments rather than one lump sum, and make sure your dollar cost averaging is extended, not just 6, 12 months, but probably up to 18 to 24 months because things could change easily, and a longer dollar cost averaging gives you that flexibility to do few things. For example, if things turn to the worst, then what happens is you can actually just delay the dollar cost averaging and say, oh, I'm going to stop here after 6 installments. Let's hang on first. So at least you don't have everything in the market.
Yeah, very hard to time the markets, of course.
Exactly.
We're chatting with Sunny Hamid. He's the Director of Wealth Management for Financial Alliance. Sunny, thank you so much, and I hope you have a great day ahead.
Thanks for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.